You're on your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. And over the course of the pandemic, we have seen shipping and freight costs rise a fair bit, and delays as well, with the demand for freight really hitting hard during the pandemic. I'm joined by Jim Wilson, Policy and Communications Manager with Shipping Australia. Jim, how's it going?
It's going good today, Jordan. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. So just to start off, like, why have we seen such spikes in delays and price around freight over the course of the last 18 months or so?
Well, the freight rates are very simply explained. There's a lot of demand for freight and there's a limited amount of supply. Now, as I'm sure your listeners will remember from their basic economics courses, supply is restrained, demand goes through the roof, prices go up. And that's the same whether you're talking about apples, international port facilities, freight, canola, you name it. When the supply is restrained and supply and demand goes up, then prices will rise. Now, why has port congestion happened? Well, basically, the ports just can't cope. They have, in many cases around the world, a very low performance. Australian ports came out pretty badly in a recent ACCC report, and they came out really badly in the World Bank study. There was a study of about 351 container ports around the world. The Australian ports came out very low. I mean, we're talking bottom 10, bottom 15%.
Wow, okay. So what's the problem with our ports? What are we doing wrong?
Well, you can really tie it down to two real issues. It's when the ship turns up, they don't immediately get served. So for some reason, the ports are keeping the ships waiting. And, you know, you can see that in the statistics. It's referenced in the ACCC report. And the other problem is our key performance metric is the number of boxes a crane can move. Now, in Australia, it's something like 28 boxes per hour per crane. Other places around the world, it's like 53. So that really tells you the reason why. If the ports can't process the ships quickly and efficiently, then, you know, don't be surprised if you've got Australian port congestion. The other big issue in Australia, of course, is just this endemic, ongoing industrial relations. It just never seems to stop. So whenever, you know, you have a bit of peace breakout on the waterfront, a few weeks later, there's, you know, more issues.
So I guess what's causing these issues then? Because obviously it's a divide between how the ports are run and the workers themselves and the conditions they're working with.
Right. Well, I got to say this. You know, the conditions the wharfies are working in is great. Those wharfies are paid very highly, let me assure you. Now, in the current dispute right now, their wharfies have been offered 2.5% year-on-year increase for 4 years. Have you been offered a 2.5% year-on-year increase for 4 years? Have your listeners? I'll tell you, I haven't. I'd love it, but I haven't. They're also asking if they've been offered guaranteed job security with no forced redundancy and a commitment to preserving jobs with a focus on permanent roles, and there's caps on the usage of labour. Have any of your listeners had that kind of sweet deal offered to them by their boss? I'm willing to guess they don't. Now, the average Australian worker, you know, an office worker working in an office doing, you know, whatever it is, and all the various forms of administration or office work can be done, earns on average about just under $51,000 a year, according to the ABS, and they have to work 233 days for that. Now, the average wharfie earns about $161,000, so more than three times the amount of money, and works 179 days. That's, you know, a good 30, 40, 50 days less. They work 50 days less. So I'm going to repeat that. The average wharfie works 179 days a year. The average Australian office worker works 233. The average wharfie earns $161,000 a year. The average Australian worker earns $51,000 a year. Patrick Wharfies have been offered a 2.5% year-on-year increase for the next 4 years and guaranteed job security. That's not being offered to everyone else in Australia. Now, let me tell you this. Wharfies are not badly treated. They have good pay, good jobs, and frankly, I can't see why you wouldn't snap up a deal like that.
So with the wharfies then, if they've got it so good, how come there is that ongoing industrial action?
Well, you know, a lot of it, I think, is history. I mean, let's just start off with the first and obvious foremost thing to say. You know, you go talk to an average wharfie, he's a nice guy, you know, and they normally is a he. I'm not being, you know, kind of overly biased there, but, you know, the most wharfies are men, but there are a lot of female wharfies as well, so let's be gender neutral. You know, he or she goes to the wharf, they're nice people, they want to go home, they want to look after their families, they want to earn good pay for themselves. And, you know, it's not the individual wharfies, really, anyone's got a problem with. It's their representatives. The unions are just pushing for higher and higher wages, irrespective of what happens to the average Australian. They want more power, more control. You know, it's gone really beyond reasonable representation of the workforce. I mean, if you've managed, and, you know, got to say this to the union, they've pushed up the workers' wages. You know, as I said, the average Wharfie wage is $171,000 a year. But now they're demanding that they have near complete control over who actually gets a job in the terminal. So there are clauses in the enterprise bargaining agreements, and if you don't believe me, you can look it for yourself. It's on the Fair Work Commission website. They've got clauses in their enterprise bargaining agreements that say something like 30% of any new employees employed by the companies have got to be approved by the friends and family of people who work there. Another 33% have to be nominated by the union, and the remaining 30%, the management gets to choose their own workforce. So they've basically got a deadlock of like 60%, 63% on the actual workforce. This is not about workers' rights. This is not about poor little waifs being, you know, sent up to the chimney in the freezing cold winter. These are well-paid workers with huge amounts of leave compared to your average Australian, and the union is just pushing for more and more and more. And, you know, look, I think there's some kind of personal aggrandizement issues going on here. You know, why were they trying to make life so difficult? Why are they coming up with this crazy rhetoric? Why are they just pushing more and more? And, you know, it's just that absolutely absurd. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you this. What is happening to the Australian population as a whole because of these workers is terrible. Something like 99.92% of everything that comes into or leaves this country goes by sea. We have five main container terminal ports. Anything that goes wrong at the port affects all Australians, no matter where they live, no matter how far from the sea. It causes issues with you getting goods to buy, and it also causes issues with general inflation. This union, these maritime unions, these waterfront unions, they're pushing things at your expense. So really, they deserve little sympathy.
So with, I guess, moving on to the shipping delays, I guess, worker issues aside, what is the situation currently? Like, how many ships are Australia currently servicing as far as what we're bringing into the country?
All right. Well, I don't have that specific figure to hand, but I can tell you in various parts of the world, you're looking about 77, 78 ships just sitting in a queue. Now, one ship could have anywhere up to 20,000 boxes on board. Now, in congestion, we call this port congestion. So if you've got ships hanging off a port, that congestion is infectious. It infects the rest of the world. And the reason why is, think of it this way. A ship operating a service sort of works a bit like a bus. It calls at one port, then it calls at another port, then it calls at another port, then it calls at another port. And it does so in a regular line and a regular rotation, just like your bus stops at, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stops on the road as it's driving around the city. So if you have enormous congestion at a given port, then that just gnarls everything up. So this is exactly what's happening off California. It's happened off China. It's happened off Rotterdam in Europe. It's happened off the west coast of the United States and the east coast. It's happened in Korea. And, you know, there are problems all over the world. So what tends to happen is when ships start getting up caught up in this kind of congestion, they have to start altering their service levels and their ability to call a port. So if you're calling, say, a port in California, and you know there's a two-week wait, then you make sure that your ship isn't calling every week. You make sure it calls every other week or every 3 weeks. So you have a change in service schedules, change in service alterations. And, of course, because of the supply chain and just-in-time management, it means that, you know, the flow of goods and commodities throughout the supply chain as a whole ends up being disrupted. Now, in Australia, of course, the problem is when you get here, you have huge industrial relations actions. You know, there's strikes every few days here at the moment. So when your ships get here, they can't be unloaded in a quick time. That causes supply chain issues with goods getting into off the ship, through the port and into the warehouses, and from the warehouses onto the trucks, and from the trucks onto supermarket shelves or department store shelves or, you know, stores local to you. So this is really just the supply chain issues are just huge. It's caused by poor performance, poor congestion. Now, if the ports can't keep up because they haven't invested enough, or they've got labor relations issues, or they're just not bringing the ships in quickly enough, I mean, a big problem is a ship will arrive, and this is particularly so in Australia. In other parts of the world, a ship will arrive and it's sent to the berth pretty quickly. And then here in Australia, the ship will arrive and it's not sent to the berth. It's waiting. Now, what the ports will tell you is, oh, there's no delays. But then what they don't tell you is there's a wait time. So what's the difference between a delay and a wait? Well, a delay is if a ship arrives on time and the port can't service it immediately. And a wait time is if a ship arrives out of time and the port can't service it immediately. So what the ports will do is they will prioritize the passage of ships that arrive on time, get them through the port, and then they say, oh, there's no delays, which under that particular specific naming system is correct. But they're not telling you there's a heap of other ships that's just sitting there waiting. Now, the problem is a lot of ships arrive off time and off window and arrive late, and the reason for this is this massive port congestion. So you have the ports blaming port congestion for making ships late and for not servicing the ships in time because of port congestion. As you can probably appreciate, it's all a bit circular and not very satisfactory. Ports need to up their game. They need to improve. They need to process ships faster. They need to get them to the berth faster. They need to get the crane rates up so the ships can be done in, out, gone faster. And let me tell you just exactly how much that costs. Now, a ship that typically calls in Australia carries about 6,000. The current cost of that for one day is about $159,000 a day. And that's not including fuel. So if a ship is sitting there for hours and days at berth, you're talking about $160,000 a day. Wasted. Just absolutely wasted. So you can appreciate the shipping industry is pretty unhappy with the ports at the moment.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, we're just out of time, but Jim, thank you so much for chatting today.
Thank you very much for your time. Much appreciated.
This is Jim Wilson with Shipping Australia on your Classic Hits Breakfast.